I've been praying for some time now. It seemed like you don't have to be a young Christian to lose your way. I've been so cold and unuseful for the Lord. And I just try to pray. It seemed like I can't even hardly pray through. And I just ask, Lord, please tenderize my heart. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Get me where I can do something for you. Yes. And he showed me a couple of things this morning before I got to church. And Amen. Sitting over here, he put this on my heart. And then I sat there and I thought, now this is Brother Jeff's light. And one of the things that's on my heart here in this passage is 43rd chapter of Isaiah, if you want to turn over there. Or one of the things he said to bring in those that have eyes but cannot see. Yeah. And those that have ears but they cannot hear. And I said, well, I thought, I just can't do this. And Brother Marty brings Jeff some glasses up here. And I thought that I don't believe in praying for signs. Amen. I believe we're to walk by faith, but sometimes God just manifests himself, confirms it. So anyway, I want to try to look at this. And I've said it many, many times. If I stand up here and make a mess, I'm serving a God that's big enough that can make a message out of a mess. And he's proved that many times that I've tried. And if I just make a fool out of myself, then so be it. But I want to get back to where that I can feel like that the Lord would use me. I'm just one little spot of this local assembly, and we want revival. We've got people that are lost. I've got grandchildren that's lost. And we've got a lot of kids that we don't know about. And he says that we're to be his witness. And I want to speak just a little bit about God calling us out for a witness. And then I want those of you that are lost to understand the Hebrew writer says that you are compassed with so great a cloud of witness. You're in a good place. As far as the atmosphere, I've said a lot of times that there needs to be a spiritual atmosphere. And when God's warmth and love is felt among one another, lost people is going to desire to have that. So you are compassed with so great a cloud of witness. And if our witness is not what it ought to be, shame on us. But that, nevertheless, you'll not use that for an excuse. In the 43rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, God here is talking about, and he's talking about where he's going to call all of his children home. But I want us to look at this as God is congregating a people together to be a witness. But now, thus saith the Lord, that has created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, and I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, the Savior. I have gave Egypt for a ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and the people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say unto the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back, but bring my son from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Amen. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, and I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth. Now this is what he's telling them, those of us that he's gathered together as an assembly. He said, bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled, who among them can declare this and show us former things. Let them bring forth their witness, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is true. Ye are my witness, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no other God formed, neither shall thou be after thee. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I have declared, I have saved, I have showed, when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, in other words, because of this, you are my witness, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before this day was, I am he. And there was none that can deliver you out of my hand. I will do a work, and who shall let it? And that's reading down through the 13th verse. The Lord has declared unto his people that we are to be his witness, that he assembles us together to be a witness to those that are without. And he goes as far as he expresses the fact that before me there was no other God. And after me there was no other God. And when there was no others, he said, you know it was me. And because of that, he declares, because of that, we are his witness. So when I think about that, and he says that I will do a work, but who will let it? And I want you to think about that, and I want us to think about how that, as we are to be his witness, we are to be that cloud of witness that surrounds those that are lost and that are separated. And if they fail to see a witness of the Lord within us, where are they ever going to see Jesus? So it's important that we as the church uphold the Lord. As his witness, he confirms that he has saved us. He has showed us these things. And because of these things, we now are to be his witness. Now, he says that they are to bring in those that have the eyes and yet they cannot see, and bring in those that have the ears but they cannot hear. And he is referring to those that are spiritually blind and spiritually deaf. And I want you to know over here in the 42nd chapter, he says in the 16th verse, and I will bring the blind by a way that they know not, and I will lead them into the paths that they have not known. You that are blind and still in your sin, you may have tried this way, you may have tried that way. And I think it was Jeremiah that declares, he said, let us search and try our own ways and then trust the Lord. But he said over here that he said, I'll bring the blind by a way that they know not, a way that they have never been. And if you are still blind and you're still separated from God, you have not come the Lord's way yet. But when you come the Lord's way, he says, I'll bring you in a way that you know not. And our prayer is that you will find that way. And he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. So it's so important that you recognize that you have a need. He says, I'll do a work, but who will let it? You see, Jesus is our great physician. And what Jesus wants to do is he wants to do a heart transplant. And just like it was, I think it was David, whenever he was lost and after he got saved, he said, my heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. And you can leave here and be a part of this witness and can also declare that your heart has been fixed. But he says, I'll do a work, but who will let it? Who will allow it? The hindrance from you being saved is not God's part. God has already done his part. And the church may not be the witness that we need to be, but there'll be no excuse. Listen, he wants to do a work today. But he says, who will let it? And you say, well, what is the holdup? You have a veil upon your heart. You are at a point that you are not allowing God to do a perfect work in your heart. Salvation is not as difficult as what we make it. I'm not talking about some easyism salvation, but I'm telling you what God is looking for is a total surrender, it's a total submission, and that's all he wants. But he wants it all. He wants you to completely submit to the Lord. But who will let it? Listen, you're here today and you're lost or you're confused. I want you to ask yourself a question. Where is your heart? Where are you at right now? There's a parable over in the book of Matthew. I don't remember what chapter it is. But there's a parable over there about a sower. And this sower, he goes out and he sows seed. And if you read it closely, he talks about four different places that those seeds is going to land. And I want you to think about, as the seed is being sowed from Sunday to Sunday and throughout this revival, I want you to think about when the seed is sowed, where is your heart? You see, when the seed is sown, it has to fall upon a good ground. The only way it can fall upon a good ground with those that fall, you have to open up your heart. You're already exposed. You may have never even told nobody that you're lost, but God sees the very intent of your heart, and you're already exposed to sin. So where is your heart? Where is the seed falling when it's broadcasting? When the seed is sown, where does it fall? Where's your heart? I think he said that when he began to sow, and you can just imagine dipping your hand down into a 5-gallon bucket of seed, fescue seed, and start broadcasting. Well, you know what it said? It said that some fell right here by the wayside. Just as he started to spread it, some seed fell by the wayside. And then when he did spread it, said some fell upon stony ground. And then some of it fell up over here, up among the thorns and the thistles. And then the fourth place, some fell up on good ground. And what did it do? It brought forth fruit. Those are the ones that got saved when it fell upon the good. What was the good ground? They had opened their heart up. Listen, you've got to break up the fallow ground. If you're going to sow seed, you've got to cultivate that ground. You've got to break up the fallow ground. And if you're lost, you've got to open up your heart and allow God to do a perfect work. He wants to do that. He desires to do that. He has never made anyone get saved. But he will sure give you the opportunity. And when you submit to his will. But you see, some fell by the wayside. And I want you to think about, where is your heart? Is your heart right over here where it was sown by the wayside? You know what the wayside is to me? That's where it's sown and you're just not going to listen. Think about it. The seed is sown. The gospel is preached. And it falls upon your heart and you're just not going to listen. You ain't going to. And you've got that choice. And boy, that's a bad one. And then it's the second place, it says that some fell upon stony ground. Fell upon the stony ground. And see, you sow fescue seed out here upon stony ground. Well, it may sprout just a little bit, but when the sun comes up, it'll wither and it'll die. Your heart. A lot of you, your heart is a stony heart. And listen, I believe it was Ezekiel that talked about whenever you get saved, he said what God does, he takes out that old stony heart. That old stony heart, he'll take it out and give you a heart of flesh. And that heart of flesh, you know, one of the things it means is kinship. Kinship. Not only is it a heart that you can feel, but flesh also means kinship. You will be adopted into the divine family of God. But the thing is, either you just won't listen, it just fell by the wayside, you're just not going to, you're going to walk out of here lost, you ain't going to do nothing about it. Or it falls up on the stony ground, and your heart is stony, you just will not give it up. You've got that pride that you don't want to go through all of that, you don't want people to see you. Listen, you need to deal with this thing. And you need to get this thing fixed and get this thing behind you. But it's just going to fall upon stony ground with some of you. What happens? You walk out of here still lost. And then what about where it falls over here up among the thorns and among the thistles? You see, it may be good, rich dirt, but it falls among the thorns and the thistles. Some of us, when we were lost, we're too wrapped up in the world. It falls among the thorns and the thistles. It falls out there. You've got this on your mind. You've got this on your mind. You've got your life to live. You've got all of these things. So the word just sort of falls amongst all the things that you got on your mind, falls among the thorns and the thistles. And what happens? It just chokes it out. You would rather just go ahead and just not even deal with this thing and just have what you have. And my friend, the things of this world are temporal. They're temporal. So think about it. You that are lost, or you're confused, just ask yourself the question, when the gospel is preached and I start feeling, where is my heart? When that seed is broadcasted, is that me? I'm just not going to listen. Is that me? Be honest with yourself. Or is your heart that stony heart and you just ain't going to do nothing about it. You ain't going to allow it. He is the great physician. And he literally, spiritually can completely take away that old stony heart and give you that heart of flesh and be adopted into the family of God. Kinship. Or if you got everything else on your mind, throw it among the thorns and the thistles. You're thinking about your life. You're thinking about what your schooling. You're thinking about your friends. You think about a little car you want to buy or the job you want. What you got all these things. That's the thorns and the thistles, and it'll choke it out. But what you've got to do, you're going to have to find that place. That place. You're going to have to break up that fallow ground. You're going to have to open up your heart and just allow God to do a work in your heart. He said, I will do a work, but who will let it? Who will let it? He said, I'll take, he told the congregation, he said, you bring in those that have eyes, but yet they're blind. And he said, what I'll do, he said, I'll take the blind in a way that they have never known. And I'm telling you, this is a good way. It's the only way. But you're going to have to be the one to surrender to it. Brother Jeff pours his heart out of here. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And it falls by the wayside. It falls on stony ground. Falls by the thorns and the thistles. Let it fall upon good ground. Let it fall upon the good ground. The church as well needs to break up our fallow ground. We don't need to just amen him and believe what he says. We need to put legs on it. We need to be doers and not only hearers. That, you know, when a pastor and a church is working together, you're talking about a witness, there'll be a cloud of witness. And all at once, some old sister starts shouting and some brother starts crying and there's a spiritual atmosphere that we don't work it up, it just develops. And the next thing you know, the sinners, their heart starts melting. And that is getting toward that good ground. Toward the good ground. He desires to do a work. He desires to do a work today. I'll do a work, and who will let it? Among you today, who will let it? Or were you just going to go back out again, let it fall upon stony ground, or fall by the wayside? His word will not return void.
Amen.
And what that means, it's going to accomplish something. If it's nothing else, it's going to accomplish a testimony against you when you die without God.
Amen.
But that's not the desires of the Lord, and they're certainly not the desires of the church.
Amen.
We're to be a witness.
Amen.
And who will let it? How long do you want to just stay in that position of being lost and in agony. When I was lost and I was lost for quite a while, and it was just agony to me. I mean, there was times that I couldn't even sleep. There was times I didn't want to play with my friends. And I'll say this, once I finally surrendered and got saved, it felt like it was so easy. I thought, why hadn't I already done that? And then I look back at all the agony that I went through, the time that I was lost without the Lord. And I could have got saved earlier if I had have. Today can be your day. It can be your day. This church loves you. Amen. And beyond measure, God loves you. A love that passes all understanding. He sent his son for you. And he desires today to do a good work. But are you going to let it? Are you going to allow him to do a good work? Open up your heart. You're already exposed. He already knows you. But allow God to come in and to do a perfect work in your heart. And you too, like David, can walk out of here saying, my heart is fixed, oh God. My heart is fixed. I know it's been short, but I pray God will have his way in his word. And I pray if you're lost that you will seek the Lord. While we have a song, if you're lost, let God do a perfect work. He's never made anybody do it. But he sure has given you the opportunity. While we stand and while we sing.